Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
You guys should have seen the smile that came across Brandon Stokely's face here in our American Financing Studios when on ESPN, which we got on the big screen here, advertising Peyton Manning's detail. And the clip they showed four different times was you on that smash route. Do I have that right?
Well, it was no. Smash route is the corner route, but it was a corner post. So he was selling it. He was calling smash.
He was calling smash.
That's the signal. The signal is the open hand, and with the fist against it is the universal smash signal. So that's what we were trying to sell there, and he told me in the huddle to run the corner post.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, they kept showing it over and over. I was just like, can we get that on a loop in here? That's what I'd like to have. Can we do that?
I'd unplug the TV.
Over and over and over again.
Because eventually you just stop talking to me and just start looking at the TV like you often do.
Right. I mean, I do that anyway most of the time, so.
Let's play a little game. Cut, keep, or restructure. Now, I'm going to give you a name, and I'll tell you what you would save if you were to cut that player. Fair?
Yeah, fair.
Case Keenum. You save $11 million if you cut Case Keenum.
Wow. $11 million, huh?
Correct.
Great cash, homie.
Correct.
You're going to have to give him $7 million cash to walk away, right?
That's also true.
I don't like to give away $7 million, but it's not my money. What are we going to do? I mean, that would be my question. You know, what are we going to do at the quarterback position? Now, if you would do this, I would say yes. What do you think I'm talking about?
If you were going to do this, I would say yes.
Yes, to let him go.
Well, I think two things make sense. One,
just give me one. I only got one thing.
Free agent. If you went the free agent route.
You're wrong.
Well, hold on.
You're wrong with what I wanted to say.
Okay, from what you wanted to say. Okay.
If you're going to go out there and trade for Nick Mullins. Forget the free agency route, though.
Oh, well, okay. You know what? My mind was thinking like quarterback in the league right now.
I'm on a whole nother level. You're down here, I'm up here. Okay,
Holy moly.
It's going to take you a while to get there.
My goodness.
But if you're going to go out there and get Nick Mullins, and let's trade for Nick Mullins, and let's put him into this offense, and we're gonna draft a guy also, then you know what? Buy Case. Let's just start this process. He's not going to be here after next year anyway. John said it. It's a short-term fix. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not going to be around after next year. So just cut it. Give him the $7 million. Go trade for Nick Mullins. He knows this offense. It's just more people on the offensive side of the football that know Rich Scangarello, the new offensive coordinator system. Get him in town and get him in the building to help the other guys. Okay, and you might as well. Who would you rather, Case Keenum or Nick Mullins? It's a coin flip. And in this situation, I'd prefer Nick Mullins. So, and then you save $11 million on the cap. Got to give him seven, right? We understand. I know the RamosLaw.com. You got to still pay him seven. Okay, gotcha. I'm fine with that.
You're basically going to swallow a big mistake.
Yeah. Yep, and just move on from it. And what's the best way to do that? Just
cut ties with them.
Just quickly, right?
Yeah.
Just done with it. Don't let it linger around.
Amputate.
Well, see you later.
Who amputated? And we talked about it a lot.
The Tampa Bay Bucks with Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah. Picked him in the second round, moved up to pick him.
Mm-hmm.
And after 1 year, they said, oh, no.
This ain't going to work.
We're not going to continue to watch this guy miss field goals and cost this game. So,
and it's going to cost me my job, so sorry.
Right. Gone. See ya. Admit your mistake and move on from it. And with Case Keenum, if you can go out there and get Nick Mullins, then do it. If not, just keep him. So that's kind of how I think about this situation with Case Keenum. If you can get Nick Mullins, who I think would be a good fit here because of his ties with the new offensive coordinator, do it. Other than that,
wait, hold on.
Just keep it.
Hold on a second. You're saying you think Nick Mullins would be a – so, like, Nick Mullins would be our plan at quarterback for 2019?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You're
and we're drafting a guy of the future.
So you're going to draft a guy, and you're not going to play him again. And you're going to play Nick Mullins.
Well, I'm going to just see how it plays out.
What if Nick Mullins plays well?
Does he play really well?
I he plays well.
Does he play great?
He's freaking Nick Mullins. So whatever playing well for Nick Mullins looks like, that's what it looks like.
Listen, we can make him the backup. I really don't care. Just get him in town, okay?
Just get him here, huh?
If you get him in town.
Just get Nick Mullins in town.
If you get him in town, Case got to go, all right? Shorty got to go.
That's right.
Who was that? Capri Bibbs.
Capri Bibbs. Yeah. Shorty got to go.
And the main reason I want Nick Mullins, not because I think he's going to be a superstar quarterback, is because he's got a great relationship with Rich Scandarella, knows his offense, knows his terminology. He can help that transition, okay? He plays quarterback. He knows every position. He can be that, like a coach almost for you. And so if you're able to go get him, go get him. What's the difference between him and Case Keenum? Nothing.
So why would you eat $7 million to go get a guy who's the same as Case Keenum?
I just told you why. Just told you. Because he's going to help your offensive coordinator out. He's going to help this learning curve for everybody. Okay? And, yeah, you're eating that $7 million cash that you got to pay, mm-hmm. but you're also saving $11 million on the cap.
Simultaneously true.
Right? So you're also helping yourself out in that area to go out and be more aggressive in free agency and go get you a player that, you know, will help your young quarterbacks. So I think that's a great scenario for the Denver Broncos.
It's a great scenario.
Yes, to get Nick Mullins. And I don't know if San Fran is willing to deal him or not, what it would cost, but you want a third rounder for him? Here's a third rounder. Because it's important. It's important not only to have some coaches around Rich to help the transition, but also some players around him that know his system and know what he wants to do and know what he wants to accomplish. Look, this guy hasn't done it before. Okay?
It's true.
Right? We've talked, he has not done it before. So you want to make it as easy of a transition as possible, and how do you do that? Put people around him that knows what he wants to do and that knows him. And so certainly Nick Mullins knows him, knows his offense, knows what he wants to call, can help that transition and help it go a lot quicker and a lot smoother.
My thought is if you're not playing a young quarterback and you're not going to go get a Joe Flacco or something like that, which I don't think they're going to do, by the way, but just present that an option. If you're not going to do that and you're not going to draft and play a young player, then just play Case Keenum. That's my mindset. That if you're going to, like, because Nick Mullins isn't a long-term plan, just like Case Keenum isn't a long-term plan. So
he could be your backup, though. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't have to be your starter. He can be your backup. He's fine. That's what he is. He'd love to be a backup.
Case would love to be a backup?
No.
Or Nick Mullins would love to be
Nick
a backup?
Nick Mullins.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? He doesn't have to be the starter. So you can still draft a guy and make that guy the starter. I'm not telling you Nick Mullins has to be your starter next year. That's not what I'm saying.
Oh, well, I asked you, is he your plan at quarterback for 2019? You said yes.
Did I say that?
Yeah. So I assumed, like,
he could be one of the plans. He could be one of them. He could be the backup plan.
All right.
But he's a plan over Case Keenum. But if you draft a guy, he could be the backup. That's fine.
Okay. Nick Mullins could be the backup.
Nick Mullins could be the backup. And you can play the guy if he's ready. You can make Nick Mullins the starter for 6 games and then put the rookie in. 4 games, then put the rookie in. Gosh, we only got one name.
We have 8 Broncos left. Should we cut, keep, or restructure? And next on the list is Emmanuel Sanders.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Just to put something to bed really quick, because I see more than a couple people chiming in on the ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, suggesting, hey, you know, if you want Nick Mullins in here as a backup, why can't you just trade Case Keenum to San Francisco for Nick Mullins? Straight up. Save on the cap hit, etc. that's just something that San Francisco would never go for, because you're not going to pay Case Keenum all that money to be your backup.
Right.
They'd be inheriting that contract. So that's just not going to happen. That's not apples to apples. But I saw a bunch of people with that idea, just wanted to put that out there. Nick Mullins is going to make $570,000 this year.
Yeah.
Which I just asked you during the break, and we're going to get to the Emmanuel Sanders cut, keep, or restructure, but, like, this is an undrafted player in his second year. So this is the minimum in his second year, $570,000. First year, $395,000, which is about twice as much from when you were a rookie for an undrafted minimum.
Yeah, over. Double.
Double.
Over, yep.
Wow.
NFL's doing good.
You're not kidding. You are not kidding. All right, we've been playing a little game called Cut, Keep, or Restructure. We just went through the Case Keenum conversation. If you missed it, it'll be available at show's conclusion on demand at 1043thefan.com or the Fan app. Emmanuel Sanders. If you did move on from Emmanuel Sanders, you would save over $10 million. Cut, keep, or restructure?
Restructure. I still think he has a lot of good football left, so I think you restructure his deal. Try to get that number down, and maybe do a little extension with him. I wouldn't mind that at all. I wouldn't mind that. I know it kind of seems crazy, but, you know, you do a team-friendly one, you give him a little bit more money up front, a little bit more guaranteed money, but also it's more of a team-friendly deal, and he's happy, you're happy. And the cap number comes down a little bit when you do that also. So I wouldn't mind seeing that happen, but I think restructure with Emmanuel Sanders. It would be hard to justify that number for a player his age coming off of an Achilles injury. You just don't know what to expect. So you have to give yourself a little leeway when it comes to his contract and his situation. So I don't think they'll go into next year on the one-year $10 million deal. Or whatever he's due to make.
He was balling this year. I mean, he was balling. And even with Case Keenum, and how poorly Case Keenum played, in 12 games, Emmanuel Sanders had 71 receptions and 868 yards, 4 touchdowns. He missed 4 games. He averaged 72 yards a game. Just say, and I know it didn't happen, and it's the NFL and people get hurt, but had he played 16, he would have been on pace for about just what we thought he would be at, right around 1,200 yards, 1,156. He would have been flirting with it.
Yeah. Bummer. But as an organization, as a team, they probably look at the situation and say, you got to protect yourself against an aging wide receiver coming off this type of injury. And you ask yourself, will this continue? Will this trend continue? Is he now on the downside of his career? So that's what organizations have to do. When you get to this age, they have to ask themselves, will he be able to bounce back? Or will this be a reoccurring thing?
Well, this is 2 years in a row that he's missed a quarter of the season.
There you go.
So prior to that, it was 16 games, 15 games, 16 games, 16 games, 16 games. So he had a great track record for a long time heading into the last 2 years. But this is what you worry about when a guy's 31 years old, right? And he's going to be 32 here in a month and a half.
Yeah. So that will be – they'll either restructure it or they'll probably just release him. I don't see him coming back at that number, coming off of an Achilles.
The Broncos have the leverage here, clearly.
They do.
The Broncos – and he thought that he had it.
He was going to have it.
He was going to have it, because when he joined Pritchard and Cecil here in studio, and it was
make sure you give them credit.
It was stop it. It was the day that Demaryius Thomas got cut, and he was here for other business anyway.
Traded.
Or excuse me. It was the day that DT got traded. He was here for other business. Emmanuel was down the hall, and our program director went and grabbed him. Was like, "You got to come in here." He's like, "Yeah, I'll come in. I'll go do an interview." And he was really down, or that's what he projected, and he said that when he was asked point blank whether it was, do you want to be a Bronco next year? He said, we'll see. And the only thing that would keep him from being a Bronco in, at that point was asking for more money or an extension, really. More years.
Yep, and you just never know. So it's going to be an interesting situation to look at. Because I forgot 2 years ago he missed a handful of games also.
The ankle, right?
Yeah. And now, you know, coming off of the Achilles, you just all signs point to either a release or a restructure. Not coming back at that number.
What does your gut tell you will eventually happen?
I think that they find a common ground and he stays here. I think they want him here. I think, obviously, with whatever new offensive coordinator you have, you assume that he would want a player like that
sure.
on the outside.
Why wouldn't you?
If you have a young quarterback, you want help around that guy. So I think in the end they'll come to some kind of solution, whether it's just a restructure and put a bunch of incentives in there or a extension. Add a couple years to the deal. They give you some outs, but gives him a little bit more money guaranteed if he's able to stay healthy, things like that.
Okay. So we'll keep an eye on that one, but that should be that is going to be an offseason conversation. That's probably already started over there at Dove Valley.
It should, yeah.
Yeah. Saw Emmanuel at the game the other night, front and center.
Yep.
And by the way, did you see what the Warriors did last night?
Yeah, they put up close to 150. How many did they put up on the Nuggets?
142.
All right.
And then they scored more points. Then they scored more points the next night. They put up 147.
Wow. Unbelievable.
They were down 20 in the second half. They were down double figures in the fourth with like 7 minutes left. I shut it off because the Pels were Pelicans. They were in such control. I'm like, I'm going to watch something else. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to watch something else. They came back from down 20 to third, down 10 with like 7-8 minutes left. They won and covered. Like what? This is a machine here, and I don't have the.
So here's what they're like, Zach. They're like a NFL team with a great quarterback.
You're always in it.
They're never out of it. Never, ever.
You lived
it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're down, 24 points in the second half or whatever it is. You're never out of it. And that's the same thing with the Warriors. They're never out. The way they shoot the ball.
I know.
They're just never out of it. Never count them out.
Earl said yesterday on the Mile High Hoops podcast, he goes, it doesn't matter what's going on in the game. They're always four consecutive threes away from running away. Like, no matter what's going on.
And no matter what the score is, like, when you're watching that team, you exactly what Earl said. You're like, okay, they could win. It's a close game with 3 minutes left, and they could win that game by 20.
I know.
Or if they're down like they were last night, they could come back and win by double digits. And it doesn't surprise anybody because that's what they are capable of doing.
And just as indicative of where we're at right now, when two teams like the Pelicans, who really get up and down, shoot a bunch of threes, play a team like the Warriors, score was 147 to 140. For contextual purposes, last year's All-Star game was 148-145.
Wow.
And last night's game was 147-140. You kidding me? Are you kidding me? Hey, real quick, at the end of this segment, I see there's a little trend going around. You got to say something five times fast.
Really?
Okay.
Right now?
Right now. Say, toy boat.
Five times fast.
Correct.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat. Oh, my
Didn't
God. What is that? What is that? How did you come up with that?
I saw it on Twitter.
Does everybody do like I do?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Like, it's almost probably, like impossible to do.
Toy boat.
Toy boat.
No, you're not saying it quick enough.
I know.
You get toy boat. You got to say it quicker. Holy cow.
Cut, keep, wow. or restructure. Derek Wolfe and Chris Harris are next on the list. So we're playing a little game called Cut, Keep, or Restructure.
And we'll get to the radical idea that you had.
I was saying, I'm getting called out on the RamosLaw.com text line. Totally my fault.
But it's all right. We got something good going here, so we're just pushing it back. Because I want to guess. I have a couple guesses in mind that I wrote down.
Okay, cool.
And so...
And what it was, if you missed it, I have an idea for John Elway that he needs to, I believe, implement. Wouldn't be very hard. It'd actually be effortless. and he would probably be view it a little bit radical, and I think it's just the opposite. And we're going to have that conversation in just a couple minutes. But first, cut, keep, or restructure. We've just discussed Case Keenum and Emmanuel Sanders. If you missed it, it'll be on demand. Derek Wolfe. Cut, keep, or restructure. Should you move on from Derek Wolfe, you would save $8.5 million.
That's a lot. I look at him as a key part of this defense, a great leader, and he is a key candidate for restructure. Try to get that number down a little bit, maybe put some incentives in there, and if not, then he'll probably be released. It's just the nature of the game. It's a lot of money for, you know, defensive end in the 3-4. A lot of money. And you look at the savings that you can have if you just cut him. So Broncos have a little, you know, Wolf took a hometown discount.
He did.
Does
Wolf,
that come into play? No. I don't think so. You know, for most organizations, it doesn't. Like, wait, how long ago was that? We don't remember that.
Yeah, we don't remember that.
We paid you a lot of money. We paid you a lot of money.
Right.
So, but I mean, it should. It should. But I think in this situation, hopefully they don't squeeze him too much. But I think you'll see them go to him to get a restructure to his contract and try to bring that number down. And like I said, maybe put some incentives in there. I mean, if you did it to Peyton Manning, you can do it to anybody. Okay. And don't forget what Peyton Manning did for him. I mean, he came here and chose the Broncos and said, like, just give me a fair deal. Just give me a fair deal.
Yeah.
Fair deal.
He wasn't worried about the dollars.
Right. He's not trying to get the most money. If he wanted to get the most money, he could have. He had the leverage in that situation. And then all of a sudden it gets flipped and they have the leverage. What do? They put their foot on his throat like, let me squeeze like $8 million for a five, whatever. And we'll put it back in incentives for you, right? So if they could do that to him, they can do it to anybody.
You know,
to anybody.
Once in a while, we need to hear that.
Right.
And just recenter ourselves with what these organizations and this one specifically think.
And if you didn't know, like, how important that guy was, you really do now after his time away from here, okay? So, and they did that to that guy who came here and put this organization on his back and, you know, two Super Bowls and, yeah. I mean, and did, accomplished a lot. But then they had the leverage. What did they do? Tighten them screws.
Mm.
So if they can do that to him, they certainly could do it to Derek Wolfe. Even though he took a hometown discount to stay here, signed in the last month of the season before free agency.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. But I think eventually, yes, they will ask him to restructure.
We're fixing to find out.
All right. What about Chris?
Thanks, Gary.
What about Chris Harris?
Hope Minnesota's treating you nice.
We'll see. That's
such an odd situation.
Really,
I cannot
is.
Get over it. Just can't.
What's his title there?
Offensive
like advisor.
Advisor. Like, what is he going to do?
What
is he going to do?
Is he also assistant head coach?
Wow.
So he's assistant head coach. I want to know from the history of the sport if there's been an assistant head coach, but he's not actually officially on the coaching staff.
That's a good one.
All right.
Odd situation there.
You're
really
not kidding.
Odd.
You're not kidding.
That's fake news.
Chris Harris. If you moved on from Chris Harris, you'd save almost $8 million. Cut, keep, or restructure?
Keep. Don't need to do anything. We just keep him. You're getting a bargain with him.
Sure. Agreed. Ron Leary. If you were to move on from Ron Leary, you would save $7.5 million. Cut, keep, or restructure?
Cut.
Cut.
Cut. Bye.
Cut.
Yep.
All right.
Wasn't playing at a very high level this year anyway. Time to move on.
Injured.
Yep.
What about a guy like Brandon Marshall? If you moved on from the linebacker, you would save $5 million.
I would like to restructure with him.
Really?
Yeah. I think, obviously, they'll continue to try to add more pieces to the inside linebacker position. But you look at when he's healthy, That guy can play. You know, I mean, he can have an impact, and he still can do that. And I don't know, who's going to fill that spot of Brandon Marshall leaving? You know, what are your plans there? You plan on drafting somebody? Do you plan on going to free agency? Do you plan on it being Josie Jewell? How do you feel about Josie Jewell? I'd rather keep him around for one more year, just restructure it, bring it down a little bit, and put some incentives in there for playing time, all those things, you know, because he was banged up, missed a lot of games this year. But I think, you know, we had him in here.
Yeah.
A couple, last Friday. And
awesome interview.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But the guy's a leader. Right, he's been around here for a long time. He can help that transition defensively. So it's like Derek Wolfe with me. I mean, I want to keep both of those guys, and I'd like to restructure their deals, both of them, and put some incentives for playing time and all those things in there. But, I don't want to get rid of everybody here.
Sure. The delicate balance here.
It is. And I think both of those guys, well, Brandon Marshall, I think he's still a good linebacker, especially when he's healthy, if he can stay healthy.
29 years old. He'll be turning 30 about the first week of the NFL season.
So I think you restructure, bring it down.
Darian Stewart. If you moved on from Darian Stewart, you would save over $3.5 million.
Cut. The safety market plummeted last year. Hi, Felicia.
Todd Davis. If you were to move on from Todd Davis, you'd save $3 million.
Oh, we just signed him last year.
Correct.
I think you got to keep him. He's a great leader.
Team
for that
captain.
Team. Yep. And I think you want to keep him for another year and see what he does.
Lastly, the receiver Andre Holmes, who got cut from Buffalo earlier in the year. The Broncos picked him up probably like the back half of the season. Forget exactly when it was. But
yeah. Picked him up off waivers.
You would save a million and a half.
Look, Andre Holmes, I mean, I think most people on face value would say cut him. But I look at him, and you look at a guy that is a veteran player, good in the locker room. That's why they brought him in here when they did. And he picked up the offense quick, played in a lot of plays the first week they got him. And he's a good special teams player. So I think with him, I think he'd be a good mentor for those young guys also in that locker room and in the meeting rooms for those young wide receivers. So I say keep him.
Okay. I wasn't really expecting you to say that.
Because, you know, when you look at it and you just kind of, you peel it back a little bit and you just say, okay, well, what else can he do? And he's a really good special teams player and he's good in the locker room. He'll be good for these young guys. He's a veteran presence there. I say keep him.
Okay.
That doesn't cost you a whole lot. You know, he's only making $1.5 million or whatever. Why not?
Yeah. NFL peanuts.
That's it.
A quarterback could very well be selected here with the 10th overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak's not here anymore. This is a decision for John to make. And considering the fact that John has had a tone of humility, should that continue by making one phone call? Since John Elway has had a tone... Since John Elway has had a tone of humility in recent weeks...
What makes you say that? Do you think he really has?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't?
I don't know.
When
we're going through those comments at the end there, I'm like, you know, we kept saying like he's...
With the Peter King article.
Yeah, the Peter King article.
Interview, yeah.
You know, and we kept on saying, oh, look, he's admitting his mistake with Vance, but you dig into it a little bit, it's like, not really. You know, he kind of just said, well, I just went into it with a closed mind. I listened to that person just, and then talking about, what was the other thing that he was talking about?
Paxton.
Yeah, the Paxton thing. Well, it was kind of excuses for Paxton on why he didn't work out. You know, well, we were hoping Gary, it would be in Gary's system, and then Gary got sick. And Gary was on board, by the way.
Right.
And then we had to change offenses 4 or 5 times, whatever, and it's tough for a young kid.
No, I feel you on that one.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Right.
I do. But you're hearing a contrite tone. He's not out there saying, you know.
You're right. You're right. Yep.
And then more so for me, in terms of the tone of humility, was the postseason press conference.
Right.
When he got out there and really, it's different than you've heard him sound in years past. That's for sure. And let me say this, and this is what I wanted to get to at 1:15, but we ended up blowing through it. And some folks would think this was radical. Maybe even him. Maybe even John himself.
I was going to guess, right? Is this the one I was going to guess?
Yep. And this is the backdrop to the conversation is you need to find the future at quarterback. You've swung and missed here three separate times. More than a general manager is usually allotted forgiveness for, okay? This is the last time, and you got to get it right. And this time around, Gary Kubiak isn't in the building in a consulting role. He's got his own problems now to worry about in Minnesota. What do you think that I'm going to say? Because you wrote down a couple things.
Yeah, my first one was, I wrote down two things. My first one was call Peyton.
Bingo.
And I probably wouldn't have thought about that, but you mentioned it to me a few days ago. Something about that. So that's why I went there.
Now, and I saw a RamosLaw.com text during the commercial break, people trying to guess, and someone says, Zach, Elway isn't going to call up the sheriff for quarterback advice. And I have one word in response. Why? Peyton Manning is not affiliated with any NFL team. Peyton Manning spends a lot of time in Denver. John Elway has his phone number, and John's got to get it right. So here's what I'm suggesting. I'm not asking for Peyton Manning to have a role with the Broncos. I am suggesting, and I think it should be considered, John Elway swallowing a jagged little pill of pride, gulping it down, picking up the phone. Peyton answers, is John Elway? Guess what?
Who this? New phone.
Hey, I need your help. I need your help with something. And there's few people in this world that I respect their quarterback eyes like I respect yours. And I'm hoping if you can assist me. And all I want to do is present you some options and you tell me what you think. You don't need to be affiliated. You don't need, just tell me what you think. And this will be the hardest statement for John to say. I need your help.
That's interesting. I like how you laid that out there. You know, you really did a good job of laying it out there, like going, you know, you're not going to be a part of the organization. You're not going to be here. We're not asking you to be here for 6 months. It's, look, we're going to break this thing down. We're going to give you three or four guys to look at. What do you think? Just give us your opinion on these guys. Write us up a report, what you think their strengths are, their weaknesses are, yada, yada, yada.
And you don't need to draft who he says.
No, just listen. Right.
Looking for your perspective.
Look, we're just getting intel. That's all we're doing. You know, you're just getting intel from him. I'm going to get intel from Rich. Scangarello?
Mm-hmm. Scangarillo.
Scangarillo? Did I do it right?
Close enough.
Okay. There's going to have to be a curve there for me.
If you won't just say scans, I can only help you
I'm
so
not
much.
Saying scans. I just.
Why are you so against that?
I don't know. It's not a cool nickname. It's just not a, I don't know. It's like, I don't like it. I'm
Come
not saying
on,
that.
Man.
So, you know, you're going to ask Rich, the new offense coordinator, his opinion. You're going to, Matt Russell obviously will be a part of it. You're going to do your job and Vic Fangio will be a part of it. I know he coaches defense, but guy's been a coordinator for 30 something years. He knows what he's looking at.
Yeah.
Right. So, he's been around a lot of young quarterbacks, I'm sure. And he was just around one and Trubisky.
Sure.
So those are the people I'm going to ask, and I'm going to gather information, and then I'm going to be the one selecting them because my name is attached to it. John Elway's name is attached to it. So he's going to be the one that ends up selecting them. But the more valued opinions that you can get from across the NFL, guys that you trust, guys that you know they know what they're looking at, I think would be valuable in this situation. So I like how you did that. I mean, would it happen? Who knows? I don't know if he called him up and asked him if that would happen or not. I don't know. I'm sure if John asked him, he'd probably be open to it. Why wouldn't he? So, but, you know, would John pick up the phone to call him to ask him that?
That's the initial domino that I don't think will ever fall. And I think it should because I think it's that important. I think this next decision at that position for the health of the franchise moving forward, long after John hangs up his suit and tie. This is that important that any measure of personal discord or history should be swallowed with that pride pill. We've already dealt with enough of this type stuff with the Broncos that would halt something like this moving forward. And I would just hope that he'd be receptive to the idea. That's all.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think everything should be on the table when you're in the Broncos situation. You're looking for a quarterback. As many bright minds that you can get their opinion about the quarterback position, I think you should.
I'm glad we agree on that. Real quick, I couldn't believe what I just read on Twitter.
What happened?
Matt Hasselbeck said a contending NFL team reached out to him this season on his readiness to play.
Oh, so he didn't say like here recently.
He said a contender.
A contender. So it could have been a contender in week 13, week 12. What do you look like?
That's kind of what I assume it was.
Wow. So that eliminates the Broncos for sure.
Yep. Could you imagine Matt Hasselbeck in a Broncos uniform this year?
Why not?
Really?
Why not?
Why not?
How about the Rams? That could be an interesting one. You know, a young, inexperienced Sean Mannion behind Jared Goff. That might be a team.
What about Philly to back up Foles once Wentz went down?
Right. That's one also. I would say 49ers could have been one, but they were never really a contender, right, after losing Jimmy G. Whew. Bengals were never a contender, right? How about this one? Ravens.
When Flacco went down?
Right.
Interesting.
You know, just didn't quite know about Lamar Jackson. Just, hey, let's reach out to him and see. Because if Lamar Jackson falls on his face and is not quite ready, now what do we do? Because we got a playoff team. And I got another one. Same division, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh.
You know, they got the kid from Tennessee, the rocket scientist guy. I mean, like, brilliant. Dobbs. Is it Josh Dobbs? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But so he's one of the core. I don't know if they got three or not, but you know, Big Ben had the rib injury or whatever. Remember against Oakland, and he sat out. Then all of a sudden,
yes.
You know, here comes Big Ben. Like, why couldn't he play the third quarter or half the fourth quarter? But the last drive when they need him, he's back.
Right.
You know, it's just like, wait, what is going on here?
Right.
So it might have been the Steelers. Is another team.
Interesting. Joshua Dobbs. Josh Dobbs.
Yeah. I don't think that's what I said.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah. It's all right.
You know what? And I don't. And I've seen a couple people say this. Like when you see that report,
Packers, Aaron Rodgers banged up.
Were they a contender though?
I don't.
Yeah, I guess at a certain point in the season,
like,
you're still in it.
Right. When did they call? You know. So
if you see this report, and you're the lawyer for Colin Kaepernick. Like, all right. Seeing some great responses here on the RamosLaw.com text line from our conversation that we just had. And I think that the majority of the consensus is it's not crazy, but it's not going to happen.
Oh, we got some Redskins here also, yeah.
Oh, that's a
they
good
were
one.
In contention. Alex Smith went down, yeah.
Cecil,
really good
Cecil said that he is hearing rumblings that the Washington Redskins are looking to leapfrog the Denver Broncos in the draft. And I wouldn't doubt it.
Right.
Wouldn't doubt it at all. That's why if you're John and you do love one of these guys, do you stand pat at 10?
No, you can't. And you said it, you know, if you do love them, right, if you do love one of them. You can't, because there's other teams that will try to jump in front of you. What were you saying the response was?
A lot of, well, it's a variety of responses. You know, Manning would tell him, good luck, John. you know, that there's still potentially some friction because of John asking him to take a haircut. And that I wouldn't doubt him, but I'm not going to speculate, but I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything bad between those two at all. You know, I don't know. I don't ask Peyton those things at all. But I don't think there is. I mean, I see him. You know, Peyton goes out to practice sometime during training camp, and you see him talking to John Elway.
Yeah, yeah.
I would if I didn't know any better, which I don't. I would just assume that they're on great terms.
Well, that is a incredibly unique resource that I don't think has been tapped into, and what a rare opportunity to try to tap into it. And look, if he rebuffs you, he rebuffs you. I don't think he would.
And also, this is a guy that's around a lot of college quarterbacks every single year. A lot of good ones.
Through the Manning Passing Academy.
That's right. And it was funny because I was actually listening to one of my messages yesterday. I was just going back through some of my old messages, and I had one of his on there. And it was after the Manning Passing Academy. He was talking about the quarterback.
Did he have a thought on one of them?
He did.
Hold on. Hold on. Tell me what he said. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.